Welcome to Bonding Time, the BDA's podcast series on the U.S. bond markets, and typically through a D.C. lens. This podcast series will cover a range of issues, including the latest bond market technologies, politics and federal regulation, the challenges of COVID, and the new remote workforce, diversity and inclusion on the trading desk, and interviews with bond market leadership from across the country. As the only D.C.-based trade group exclusively focused on the U.S. bond markets, the BDA is really excited to bring you this new product, which we hope adds some tangible value to you and your business.
Welcome to another episode of Bonding Time. I'm Brett Bolton with the Bond Dealers of America, and today we are hosting Tom Kozlik, who's head of municipal credit and strategy at Hilltop Securities, for our monthly discussion on credit and impacts that action in D.C. may have on it. So, Tom, I know you live in Dallas. You're new to the state of Texas, and I'm sure you moved there for the warmth and sunshine. Tell me, how are you and your family doing post the Great Freeze? I know that Dallas and the entire state really got hit extremely hard.
So we moved down to Dallas about a year and a half ago, and we are actually specifically in Frisco, which is about 20 miles north of Dallas. We did experience several days with limited power. I don't want to say we didn't have power at all, but we only really had power for maybe an hour or two a day, I want to say from Monday to Thursday. But then the electricity finally did come on full time last Thursday evening. And so we did have some frozen pipes in our house, but we specifically didn't have any extreme damage. That being said, one of the things that I've been spending my time doing over the last week or so is really paying very close attention to what issuers are posting up on the MSRB's Emma site. I've been really scouring the local papers to see what type of impact local governments and school districts are reporting. What it is that I am finding right now, and one of the things that I'm expecting, is that in coming days and weeks, we're going to probably have a better idea of what those overall, what the numbers are for the damages. But in most cases, I think that what we're going to find is that there's going to be a certain amount of federal aid that's going to float in. There's likely going to be some state aid and or state relief that's going to help. There's going to be insurance money that's going to help fund some of the damages. And in small situations, there very well could be some either short-term and or long-term financing options that entities participate in order to take care of the impact from the recent storm events. We have actually published several items over the last kind of week or so about the impact from the storm's events. There was a report that we wrote about the Fitch rating actions. There was a piece at the end of last week where we went into detail about a couple of school districts and local governments. But like I said, most of what it is that we're expecting as a result of the winter storm events is likely to be, you know, very similar to some of the results that we've seen over the kind of the last couple of years, if not like last decade.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know you mentioned federal aid coming through with the disaster declaration that came, I think, the week of. But let's tie that into what's going on in D.C. or still going on in D.C. I know in our last conversation, we discussed stimulus and maybe the possibility of muni provisions being included, which they were not in the final drafted package as of today. But what is included and important is the state and local direct funding. I think the last number I saw was $350 billion. And I know that that's catching a lot of heat on the Republican side of the aisle, especially consider that there is still some funding from the CARES Act for state and local governments back in March. What's your take on that? Do you think $350 billion is enough for state and locals? I mean, I know that the economy is slowly churning back, but it still seems to be a long road, especially at the state and local level.
Well, you mentioned the CARES Act money, right? And one of the things that I think a lot of people are forgetting and or don't even realize is that that CARES Act money was restricted. It was actually very restricted to COVID specific expenses. And so one of the things about the $350 billion for state and local governments that's being considered now is that the money would, it's not necessarily going to be completely unencumbered. It is going to be direct, but it's going to be more unencumbered than that CARES Act money. That's the way that I would describe it. That's going to be, if and when it passes, it would be able to be used for budget shortfalls, for example. And I think that's really important because, and I know that there's a lot of information, in some cases misinformation out there, my take is still the same as what it's been for weeks, if not months, and that there are some state and local governments that need this money more than others, for sure. I think that one of the things that I'm citing is a Moody's Analytics about a week and a half ago came out with a new state budget shortfall forecast in there in an article titled Stress Testing States COVID-19 a Year Later. And they found that after some of the aid in March and some of the aid in December, that the net state budget shortfall is still going to be between $50 and $60 billion. And so this $350 billion is going to go a long way to helping not only state and local governments get to a closer kind of a credit neutral position, but needs are going up and expenditure demand is going up with what is happening with COVID. And I think it's important for folks to recognize that.
We discussed the data and the Urban Institute data as well and the state revenue numbers. And it's really across the board, states are struggling from Alaska, Florida, Hawaii, to Oregon, and Texas. I mean, it seems to me that every state in the union nearly needs some additional assistance.
Yeah, so that Urban Institute data is the data that I'm using when I talk to folk, whether it be investors or others, about what's happening on the ground. And that Urban Institute data that you're referring to, and I'd like to go through a few of the specific numbers if I could.
Sure.
What the Urban Institute found is that state tax revenue data from April of December of last year, year over year compared to 2019, was down almost 2%. And first of all, that doesn't sound like that much, but in situations where budgets in most cases were probably expecting revenues to grow by a certain level of magnitude, maybe even sometimes between 5 and 10%, right, being down by 2% is a significant number. And I'm going to tell you the states where that state tax revenue between April and December was down year over year is over 10%. Alaska down 42%. Florida down 11%. Hawaii down 17%. Nevada was down almost 12%. North Dakota down almost 15%. Oregon almost 11%. And Texas down a little over 10%. So there are others where it was down, but those are some big numbers. It's important to make sure that we're recognizing what it is that's actually happening on the ground.
Good. And it does seem like Congress does recognize that, or at least a majority of Congress, of what matters, recognizes that. And some help, I guess, by they're saying the next 2 or 3 weeks, it should get through the Senate. So we'll see what happens there. But it seems to be going that direction. But I know we also want to really hit on munis and infrastructure and what might happen next. We're talking about state revenue struggling and state and local struggling, and these type jobs, public works, infrastructure programs seem like a pretty good fit to really help drive the next stage of the recovery. So I know you and I have had conversations with different folks, but it does seem like infrastructure is going to be on the docket at some point this year. My best guess is summer or early fall. It seems like we might dabble in immigration a little bit before we turn to the next spending bill, which makes sense. Outlook does seem to be coming brighter, at least from my take. Is that your feeling as well?
Yeah, so you're referring to like the prospect of something happening on like a next phase kind of
a next phase
infrastructure.
And honestly, Tom, yeah, my mind today is set on advancer fundings just because the legislation was introduced in the Senate yesterday. So I think that's why I'm feeling so rosy and optimistic on my prospects. But yeah, infrastructure generally, but infrastructure that supports the municipal market, right?
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that the base of something that could materialize, the timing that you laid out probably makes sense, something later this summer into the maybe third quarter of this year, something based on the Moving Forward Act that was passed by the House last year. It makes a lot of sense to me that is, I don't want to say that that's the end point, but
right,
I would imagine that very well could be the starting point, right?
Yeah.
And there were several municipal friendly elements there. And I think that it makes all kinds of sense that those elements could be included. I don't want to say that they're going to be included for sure, because it doesn't seem as though those types of conversations are happening quite yet. But it seems to me that the stars are aligning, and it seems that there very well could be something infrastructure focused done at least by the end of this year, if not something in the third or fourth quarter.
Right. And I tend to agree. And I've noted in some alerts last week that we had conversations with DOT and Treasury, and they seem to agree on something happening, I think, and I don't really want to get into the budget reconciliation discussion versus reauthorization discussion, but it seems they're really just arguing on logistics at this point instead of timing and content. So I think that's good. I think that they're having the conversations is fantastic. It's still really early in the year. What are we, 6 weeks into the Biden administration generally? And once they get past stimulus, I assume conversations will continue to ramp up.
And on top of that, I'd also add that where we are sitting now towards the end of February, beginning of March, all across the board of the COVID numbers, the new cases, the hospitalizations, deaths, all of those numbers have not just come down, but they've come down significantly.
Correct.
But one of the things that's happened just over the last kind of week or so is that they've plateaued. They've plateaued to a point where we were above the level of where we were kind of in the summer of last year. And so what health officials are now kind of warning is that, okay, we're plateauing. What we very well could see in a matter of weeks is another rise, partially because that's just what happens. There's an ebb and flow in this type of thing, but also they're warning that the impact from those new variants could actually have a significant result as well. And so I think that while what this $2 trillion of relief is the it's the sixth phase of relief, right?
Yeah.
Who's to say that Washington is going to be in a position after they tackle the things that you said that they're going to tackle in the coming months? Who's to say that they're not going to have to tackle a seventh phase of relief? We don't know that, right? And so sure. I think all things being equal, if things progress as some would like them to, then that timing makes sense. But let's not forget that, as Fauci has been saying going back to March and April of last year, the virus makes the timing.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's smart to throw all this money at state and locals and hospitals and the vaccination program while we're plateauing, at least. So anything else you want to touch on? That's all I had, Tom.
I think that those are all the topics that I wanted to make sure that we talked about. I wanted to thank you for having me again. And I look forward to coming back and talking in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree, Tom. And I assume, you know, in the next month or so, we might have a better feel on the disaster in Texas and what the impact on credit really looks like. And I hope at that time we also have gotten beyond stimulus and can have a more robust infrastructure discussion. So I appreciate
that's right.
Stay safe out there and we'll talk soon. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks very much.